Well, my name is Ray McKeever, and this is an open discussion on the topic of homosexuality. That's how it's been announced. If I were to give it a complete title based on what I would like to see happen here tonight, it would be homosexuality, the experience. And I'll say more about why I specifically kind of zero in on that aspect in a moment. First of all, I'd like to introduce the other people who will be sharing leadership tonight. Actually, why don't I let them introduce themselves? I don't want to.
Molly.
Lloyd Wilson.
Susan Kylo.
Tosh Jordan.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Shall I continue?
Yes, sure.
Okay. You mind if I share a personal comment?
No.
Okay. Molly just said as we were going to start, well, here I go entering my trauma state. And I thank you for expressing how I kind of feel starting this. But also it seems an appropriate term to use for me when we're entering an area where we're talking about something that feels real meaningful to us, not just in the head, but on the inside. And For myself, I know that this is a topic which is very emotionally loaded in a lot of ways, and I think for every one of us here. And probably if we can just break that down somewhat and feel like we can talk somewhat freely, that will accomplish a lot in itself. One of the reasons that we're having this particular get-together is because a few weeks ago, as part of a series of sessions that I was doing with the winter program on men's issues, we did a session on homophobia and homosexuality. And after that session, Tosh and Molly and Susan, Tosh and Molly helped lead that, and Susan was a part of the class, all kind of expressed a little bit of, frustration or something about it feeling quite incomplete. Feeling like they kind of just got started, or maybe they would have liked to have gotten into other areas. So this is a follow-on, I think, building on that session, hoping to get more into the topic. For those of you that weren't at the first one, or the class, that's on tape, and you can listen to that after the fact if you want to. So that's kind of why we're doing it. I chose to focus on the experience because I think a lot of times when I've been in a group that's talked about homosexuality, it's very easy to want to talk about opinions or attitudes or particular messages that we've got about whether it's right or wrong, and try to back those up or question those or something like that. And I don't know if we can set that aside tonight. There's plenty of tapes on that too if you want to hear discussion about that and maybe dialogue with that discussion. But if you can put that aside tonight, maybe we could just think more about talking about homosexuality as a life experience. Several of us are going to talk about that tonight. Some of us up here are gay and some of us are straight identified. And probably the same goes for you in the congregation here. I would hope that, I know as a straight identified person, I can talk about my gayness. I've come to learn to talk about a part of me that can call myself gay, and maybe we can learn something about that in our discussion tonight. So as you respond and ask questions or make statements, try to do it out of your own experience of your awareness of yourself, either as a gay-identified person or as a straight-identified person who has gay friends, gay family, things like that. Okay. When we did the class a couple of weeks ago, Tosh and Molly and I had a what I would call a very connecting discussion beforehand. We spent over an hour together. And the quality of the talk that took place in that discussion got into a real personal and interpersonal kind of level. For me, that was so satisfying. And I think what we tried to do was recreate that in the class, and that was very difficult to do. I've thought about how we, and as a result, I think we talked in the class, and it's like, well, here's what we learned from talking, but we didn't feel quite there. One of the things that came to my mind early on as we started to lead that class and feeling that distance that was there was that the fact that I just assumed that everyone knew that you too were gay identified people. And I guess shortly on I thought, well, maybe that's not true. I kind of wanted to stop the class at that point and say, how many people knew that Tosh and Molly were gay? So I think I think just to start with, I'd like to try that. How many people knew before we began this session that Tosh and Molly were gay people? Okay, how many didn't know that? Okay. How many of you knew that Tosh and Molly were gay identified people before the class that we had a couple weeks ago? In other words, how many of you found out because of that class that they were gay identified? One.
Yeah.
About what?
Half.
Two. Okay. Well, I guess the other question is, how many of you, since you have found out about Tosh and Molly's gay identification, have had an opportunity to talk with another person about your responses to that? I guess I say that partly because I've heard some things that happen, like somebody says, goes and sits down at the lunch table and says, gosh, did you know that Tosh was gay? No, I didn't know that. Oh. And it's kind of like this information gets passed around, but I wonder if we really have a chance to talk about what that brings up in us. I'd like to do that for about 2 minutes here. Have you pick a partner and talk about what comes up in you when you find out that either Tosh and Molly, who live in this community and very close to us, are gay identified. Why don't you talk about it in that respect? What affects you about that? How does that affect how you relate to them? Just whatever comes to your mind. Just take a couple minutes to do that. And just talk back and forth as fast as you want, okay? Okay, if you could bring your talk to an end and think about finishing it another time if you choose to do that. The four of us got together again this morning to talk about what we might talk about tonight, and we'd like to enter the next part of what we talk about out of some concerns that Tosh and Molly and Susan raised. If I may be so bold to say it, Molly had a fair amount of frustration in the particular class that people were not coming forth with how they saw gay people, how they felt about gay people, what it was like to be in the presence of gay people. That wasn't a particular specific invitation in the class, but you have a frustration about it, and it seems like it would be a next step. So as a way to facilitate that, we have decided that we like to call on you to just name some of your, first of all, stereotypes of gay people, just to kind of get an image going around. So if you could just say them, and we'll just write a whole bunch of them down. Homosexual people are what? What comes to mind? I mean, what comes?
Searching.
What comes to mind that you're not saying? We're talking about stereotypes. You can say whatever you want.
Talk about what we grew up with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Narcs. probably covers a few other things too, right? No, should I just read them off real quick here so you can hear them?
Mm-hmm.
You can't really see them over here. Homosexual people are searching, sick, different on the make, males are effeminate, sinners, perverted, abnormal, characterized by lisp and limp hand, artistic, women characterized by black leather and are militant. Homosexual people are anti-family, non-people, invisible, dangerous, contaminating, child molesters, promiscuous, narcs, and irresponsible. My thought as I was reading is I'm really glad I don't believe that. It'd be hard to live in the same community as you. Okay, this is a little bit more personal, but I invite you to share as freely as you can. What I dislike or fear about gay people, and in particular, if you would think in terms of what experiences you have had either with gay people directly, I'll leave it at that. And if you haven't had experiences with gay people directly, think in terms of irrational fears or dislikes. What are some things that you fear or dislike about gay people?
A part of our community is very aware of the reality that's out there. Don't get me wrong on that. It's just that they spend so much time and energy creating their own reality within their group. And in a way that can be very creative and freeing and artistic, and certainly is not as painful as trying to deal with the reality that's out here among all the rest of us. And in a way, I can't blame them one bit, but at the same, and maybe there's a jealousy on my part that I don't have that capacity to somehow divorce myself from the world at large and create my own lovely world in some small area of San Diego, just to be more specific. So maybe there's a jealousy there too. Sometimes I think that's the salvation for some gay lesbian people, is that they are more sensible than I am about their capacities and have realized that there's certain limitations of things that they can deal with. Therefore, they refuse to deal with them, so they take it all within a small controlled world that at least they do have some control over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's sort of... Were you going to say more?
Yeah, I was just interested in your response. Would a free parent just be able to celebrate this?
That leads us very easily, I think, to what we were going to talk about next, and that was the whole experience of coming out of the closet or coming out. When I went to my parents' place 2 years ago and sat down with them and said, I have something I really want to tell you, and told them, I'm finding out a lot about myself, and one of the things that I'm finding out is that I am gay. There is nothing quite like that feeling of sitting across the kitchen table from your parents and telling them that and not knowing what they're going to do. That happens also with friends. It happens with brothers and sisters. It happens with employers. When I told my parents what happened, my father being a pastor, we immediately launched, he initiated a lengthy theological dialogue with me, which was not a new thing. I mean, we've been doing that for years, but immediately it was not father-son. It was like theologian talking about this as an abstract issue. It was as if I, as a gay person, was not there. My mom cried. She didn't say anything. She just cried while my father and I were sitting here having this theological argument. After about 2 hours, I couldn't take it anymore and I started to cry, at which point he got very angry, yelled at me and left the house. That was 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago. Since then, my mom and I have talked about my being gay for maybe a total of 3 hours, and my dad has never said anything to me at all. I found out later through my mom that he felt that my being gay was a deliberate rejection of his sexuality. Coming to terms with family members is sometimes and usually a very different story. Sometimes your parents are the first to know, sometimes your parents are the last to know. My parents were among the first just because it seemed like an easier way to deal with things than to worry about having word get back to them from another source or whatever. I was planning to tell my sister, I have one sister, I was planning to tell her at the same time. She was out of town when I was there. And by the time I had to leave town, she was still gone. So it wasn't until about 6 months later that I was able to tell her. And after a reasonable period of shock, you know, a couple days, she's been fine and, you know, very supportive and open. And we talk, you know, that topic comes up just like everything else we talk about, literature, music, everything. And the difference to me sometimes between the way my sister and I have coped with this issue and the way my parents and I have or have not coped with this issue is sometimes very striking to me. I just lost my train of thought. What you were saying about, I respect very much the attitude of parents about their children. I want to spare them this if I can. And I get a real angry reaction to that, even though it's better than a lot of what I've heard. One is that being gay was not something I have ever been aware of anybody ever choosing. If someone is gay, they are probably gay from real early on, and it's not a matter of, today is Thursday, I guess I'll be gay. You know, it's like being vegetarian meals. The other thing is, if people are concerned about... If people are concerned about sparing gay people pain, whether they're related to them or not, then by all means, do something about it. By saying, I want to spare my child or my brother or my father or my mother this pain. You know, I don't want them to be gay. It's like saying, I don't want this pain to invade on my life. And I really resent that. There is an enormous amount of subtle oppression of gay people, as we can see. You know, when we as a culture have these patterns programmed into us from real early on, what gay people are like and who they are and what they might do to us, let alone discovering that you are finding yourself identified with all these things, to find someone you love identified with this, it's a very painful thing. It's a very painful thing for parents and for friends. The first time a friend of mine told me he was gay, I felt like I'd been hit in the stomach. I was in shock. I didn't know what to say. Yeah, I still don't know what to say when people tell me they're gay. Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Or that's too bad. You know, I don't say that anymore. But so I don't know. Do you want
to
tie into this?
I'll tie into that. In my family, it worked in the reverse. My brother is gay. I knew, and I have three sisters. Two of my sisters knew almost immediately. 10 years later, my brother chose to tell his parents, finally. The struggle for me, was not... Well, initially, I think it was, you know, that spare me the pain kind of thing of my brother. went through some stuff with him almost immediately after his first, I don't know if this is helpful, but after his first homosexual experience, turned out to be with a very famous person who was murdered. And my brother was living with me at the time this man was murdered. And he was grieving. And there was no one he could share the depth of his grief with except me and a couple of friends that he had in that particular area who were also gay. And nobody, you know, in the family could understand why this man's death hit him so hard. And there was no way he could talk about it. And there was no way I could talk about it. Because he was not yet ready to come out and tell our parents. When he did, this is interesting. I hadn't shared this in the group because it just came to me when Tosh was talking about his father being the pastor. I'm the pastor in the family. I'm the authority now on what is and what is not sin. What does the church say? And how should we react to this? My brother told my parents at Christmas time, and I hadn't been there yet, and I was coming. So they saved it up for me. You know, and he wasn't there. I mean, they didn't know how to they didn't know how to respond to him. There wasn't any conversation initially. There wasn't a lot. There was no yelling. There was no confrontation on the part of my parents. My mother felt guilty. She did feel really guilty. She thought it was something she had done. She had him late in life. She thought maybe, you know, she hadn't had him then. He's her only son. She has four daughters. He's the last one, you know. All of these things, it was all, she always does this. So my mother always seems to, whenever we could, would confront her with anything, it was, what have I done to deserve this? Or how could I have changed this? Okay, so anyway, so that's what she's dealing with. And I don't know what my father was dealing with. He never really talked about it much. When I got home, they were full of all these questions. And I was supposed to then make it all better for them. And I couldn't do it. Because, you know, I know where the church is, and I know where I am, and we're not in the same place. And the other thing for me was, I can't answer for him. You need to talk to him. You need to talk to my brother. And they didn't know how to do that. And that, as far as I know, they still really haven't done it with him. They were on the surface, open. He has a companion, and his companion is welcome in the home. It's like nothing's wrong, and that nothing ever gets said. And I can share that tonight. I hadn't been really in touch with that. I was one who did not know Tosh was gay until they started doing this session. And so when I found out that Tosh was gay, instead of not just, you know, saying, not knowing what to say, went up to him and said, "Can I talk to you?" I thought, oh, right. Fed right into it. So, I mean, I'm still dealing with some of those issues myself. But it's some of those things I hadn't been aware of is how unspoken it still is and how much pain there is in the family because nobody wants to talk about it in the open. And that's, you know, being a family member for 10 years, I was in the closet too. My brother was in the closet and he brought us all in there with him because he kind of asked us not, you know, not to say anything. And we all bought into that. And we kept saying, well, you've got to do it pretty soon. I'm getting tired of this. You know, and probably not knowing, I didn't know what my responsibility was. I really didn't know what to do with it. And as a pastor in a parish, listening to people talk all the language, you know, that comes up, all of those fears constantly being expressed, sitting there being objective, theological, non-emotional about this, wanting to just say, hey, quit. You know, my brother's gay. I love my brother. I don't want to talk about this on that level. I want to talk about what it feels like to have somebody you love be constantly the subject of somebody else's joke.
and I never could do that. Well, I could now, but you know, it was real hard, you know, a lot of those times. So that's, you know, kind of my, it's somewhat the same, you know, from the other side, as Tasha was explaining. It's just been, it's a real painful place to be. And in a sense, I think I just took too much of that on myself. I became too responsible for what I thought I was supposed to be responsible for. Could I share a story just in terms of this, in terms of my interview? I was sharing this with Judy earlier. When I was interviewed in the parish that I just served, one of the questions that was asked at my interview was, what would you do if the synod took a position different from the scripture on an issue? And I said, I need to know more about this. I don't understand the question. And so, you know, I said, is there something going on in the synod that I ought, you know, that brought this question to me? And it had to do with the bishop having written a paper on homosexuality. And I simply said to them, that was the first time I wanted to say, my brother is gay. But what I said was, well, the church doesn't really have a position, and if their position is really kind of not to accept ordination of homosexuals, I said, I would go way beyond what the church has if I had a choice. And they called me anyway. But it was... it was a real tough time to have to deal with those questions right at the very beginning. So that's my reflection on what Tasha was saying. Want to add?
Something I've experienced is that, well, never in my life before this last winter program session have I shared with anyone that I'm gay and not gotten a response of some kind. And never has it been a position of total acceptance. People have written me nasty letters after they got home. People have... I went on a trip last spring and told someone that I've known for years that I was gay, and we were staying in a hotel. And she went to the next room and threw up. That was about the most stunning response I've gotten. I understand that there's some shock involved, and like Ray said at the beginning of the session, it's an intellectual issue and it's also an emotional issue. And if it's okay with you three, I would like to ask if people have questions or comments, or, you know, I feel like we've been doing a lot of talking. I mean, feel free to ask anything you want. We can always choose not to answer.
I think just to highlight that is that what I hear you talking about is not only this invisibleness, but there's kind of a conspiracy of silence for something that takes place. If you find out that someone is gay, it's like, I think, you know, I wonder if they want to talk about that, you know. So I've not only examined how much room I have to talk about that, but whether I'm just treating you as a homosexual person and not as all these other things, if I say, hey, would you like to talk about that? Or, you know what I mean? It's like, what do you do when you find out someone's gay? Even if you have an openness to it, or do they want to talk about it? So I hear you saying, it's nice to talk about it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Connecting with another lesbian, and I have throughout the months that I've been here, there've been a number of them here in the community, is pretty much like making friends with all the other people in the community. And first there has to be a potential for the friendship. And I have done that, but certainly the fact that we're all migrants and immigrants, and that we're in and out of here and this is only a temporary thing, pretty well limits the permanence of, or the potential for going beyond a friendship. At least that's the way I feel. There have been a number of women through here, however, I don't know if they're lesbian or what, that I felt very strongly about. And there are women here now that I do.
I would agree with both your answer to both questions. I haven't perceived it as being that different here. I have felt more isolated, as I said in the winter program session. I felt more isolated here than I did, say, last winter when I was in Seattle. Even though I may not make, even though I may not involve myself with the gay culture in Seattle on a regular, or even, if I choose to not get involved with it at all, I still notice that it's there, and all it takes is for me to go across the room and pick up the phone, or get on the bus and go downtown. Here, there have been gay men here in the last, since I came here in July of 82, that I have connected with. Some I have had intimate friendships with, some have gone beyond that, some I haven't even hardly met. It's not that different for me here and out there, except that here I can't pick up the phone and call a friend who is gay and talk about something that's bothering me. I can't, there isn't a network of people existing who are gay who have experienced these things that I'm experiencing that I can talk with. So that would be, I guess in the final analysis, I would say for me it's a little more difficult here than it is out there, because that support network does not exist here.
I need to just check the time. It feels like we could go on, but I want to respect the time. Could someone tell me what time it is?
9:30.
Yeah, I think we need to wrap up.
I'd like to say a couple things. Touching on what Tosh said about the pain factor, and please don't bring it to us, that really tripped a switch in me, because what I've been dealing with for the last year or so is, please don't bring your pain to anyone. And the lesbian community did not want that pain of the death of Bobby brought into their home. My family didn't want me to bring that and being a lesbian into their home. And the distancing from all groups was incredible. Death and gayness, boy oh boy, deal with one but don't have to deal with the other, and I've had to deal with both. And I've had to do it all by myself, really. That's what it really comes down to. There is a tremendous bitterness on my part. I also feel as if, the whole damn world is a bunch of wimps. And certainly the people who were around me when we, Bobby and I were going through all of this, surely weren't that dumb, that blind, to not know what was going on. But there was a lot of denial and drawing back that occurred afterwards. My own sister just will not touch me on a any kind of basis. And in the night I came home from the mental hospital, she was scared of me. And meanwhile, I just froze to death over on the couch. And that's when I had that awful experience that night. And the next morning, I was still so cold that I crawled in bed with her, and she was scared of me. And that's a twin sister. So I guess where I am right now is that I don't trust anyone. Certainly don't trust God. And we can start right there and go right down, right down.
Statement. We're talking about our experience, and our experience includes how we feel, and to share that doesn't have to resolve it at the moment. It is as it is. I think I would close just to say that as we've been talking here, I'm aware of Dan's sermon last night and talking about being an Advent people, and the kind of double side of that, an Advent people who live in hurt, who share their hurt, and who also have the hope, and how too oftentimes we'll leap into the hope side and not enter the hurt. And perhaps Advent is a time that we can boldly enter into the hurt, not only of the feelings of pain, but maybe some of the pain and just even communicating about it. I hope that tonight we've been able to enter further into Advent in this discussion.